Zechariah, who had just went through 9 months of dumbness because he didn't believe, and so became a sign, despite himself, of the authenticity of what Gabriel had told him. Now, he has a prophecy. And he has another psalm. This is the last Advent psalm we have. We have Psalm 89 between the readings, but this is another psalm by Zechariah. In Jerusalem, probably there was a group of people who lived a very special way. They were called the Anavim, the poor ones. And they didn't want a lot of stuff. And many of them had probably were elderly, and they came to Jerusalem to die. Because that was a great grace, to die in Jerusalem. You'd be right there when the Lord comes back. So they are probably the ones who cherished these psalms, Our Lady's, Zechariah's, and Simeon's, which we say every night at night prayer. So these three psalms we say every day. Now, Lord, you let your servant go in peace, and so forth, because as you promised, I have seen your salvation, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. Now, we don't have time to go through, though we have no other appointments, I mean, like school and stuff, but it's worth looking at some of this. Ask the Holy Spirit now, as we think about this, to try to catch the joy of this man, Zechariah. He embodies in himself the joy of 1,000 years of waiting. Finally. And he knows that his son is going to be the one who ushers in. You will go before the Lord to prepare his way. You'll do what Malachi said the one would do. So it's quite a prophecy. It starts off, though, blessed be the Lord. Baruch Adonai. Elohim Israel. Blessed be the Lord Adonai, the God of Israel. And it took him 1,000 years to get us to this place. When finally, a group of people, intractable, difficult, sinners, whatever you want, but who clung to him. For he has come to his people and set them free. Now, this is really a psalm about freedom. Freedom. What's freedom? Well, we're going to hear now. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior. Can you think of these group, this little group in Jerusalem, singing this every morning? Huh? These Anavim. And then Luke took it and put it here. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant, David. God said to him, the Lord also reveals to you that he will establish a house for you. David wanted to build a house for the Lord, and Nathan thought it was a pretty good idea. And that night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, now, you tell my servant, David, you're not going to build me a house. I'm going to build you a house. The house of David. And it will last forever. Quite a promise. And it has. Who is this who comes to us in the Eucharist? He's the son of David. Now, there was a long time when there was no king. Today we have Psalm 89. The favors of the Lord I will sing, and I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I've sworn to David my servant, forever will I confirm your posterity and establish your throne for all generations. That's what happened at the resurrection. But there were centuries when there was no son of David on the throne. And finally, look at these cheap imitations, Herod and this crowd. And didn't they groan under that? What happened to God's promise? He promised, he swore, he made a covenant. What happened? This is a mini version of what happened at the Holocaust. Where he chose us. You care for us. Of course we're sinners. Where are you? And this is how we learn. We cling to Christ's promises. We cling to the Lord's promises. We know they're going to be fulfilled. But we don't know how. We're not going to tell God how he's going to fulfill this promise. But can you imagine in the heart of Mary when she heard, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever? The fulfillment of the promise. Yes, now he's going to fulfill that promise. And so Zechariah, that, and you hear that, we just had Mary's psalm the other day, huh? Through his prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies and from the hands of all who hate us. Finally, we're the most despised people on the globe. We cling to one true God. We don't kill our children. We don't. And everybody thinks we're nuts. Not only that, but every seventh day we stop everything to worship God. Nobody does that. Just like nobody does it now. Going up to the mall on Sunday and see. They're crazy, these people. In fact, Tacitus, the great Roman historian, called them the enemies of mankind. Because they won't expose their children. You see how blind you can get? It may happen to us, poor Christians, poor Catholics. They are the enemies of everything that's going to produce progress for the human race. Thinking that every child has to be carried to term and brought and cared for and nourished, whether they're sick or maimed or holy or what. They're nuts. They're obeying God. Save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers. Hesed. Hesed. Remember Hesed? Enthusiastic fidelity to the covenant. He promised to show that to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, which is the same thing. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham. Now we're going to find out what freedom is. To set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. That's what freedom's for. And anything that holds us back from worshiping God and loving each other, that's slavery. Not the chains they put on people's hands and feet. That's not slavery. It's a tough way of life. But if those people, you see, worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight, all the days of our life. What a song. Every day we sing this. We want to be free to worship you and to live a holy and a righteous life. And there are going to be obstacles. I mean, tons. Television, this new whatever thing here in Montgomery County about, you know, you can declare whether you're a male or a female and you can go to anywhere you want, in the public buildings anyway. And then comes the prophecy. You, my child, this son he even doubted would exist. You, my son, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, the greatest of all Israel's prophets. You will go before the Lord to prepare his way. And now listen, what is knowledge of salvation? To give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. to let them know their sins are forgiven. Let them come to me. And then he sees it in the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. No more darkness. To shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. You know how it says in Isaiah 30? You will see your teacher, Jesus. And a voice from behind you will say, you know, turn to the right or to the left. This is the way, walk in it. I will instruct you. My blessed Holy Spirit will guide you, teach you, and so that your feet walk in the way of peace. Do you see the explosion of joy in this? 1,000 years, my people have been waiting. And it took me that long to get them ready so that I could talk like this. Suppose I went to the Romans or the Greeks or the Assyrians or the Babylonians and talked like this, they wouldn't even know what I was talking about. The Lord says it took me 1,000 years to get one people ready. And finally, the fruit of all that work, Mary of Israel. Now we can begin. And he sees this. So every morning, we remind ourselves of this. Huh? To give the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. To experience salvation, to know salvation, because our sins are forgiven. Now the church says, you've just heard this, you've just sung this, now you're ready to get ready for tonight. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free.